Well, as he's just mentioned, we continue our series this morning on The Church Gets Messy. The title of my message this morning is Life Isn't Fair, But God Is Good. And I want you to really pay attention to the title. And notice I didn't say God isn't fair, and there's a difference. And I think when it comes to our human perspective and seeing the world without the understanding of even seeing the unseen, it really does look unfair. Sometimes it looks very biased, and it looks like random chance. But I believe that the perspective of eternity and the long view is one that God longs and desires to place in our hearts. And so today, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts. Today we're in chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading from the New International or New Living Translation. No, I'm going to be reading from the New International version on the screen. It was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Let's pray. God, I just pray that the words of my heart, meditation, God, would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Pray that, God, you would just speak your truth, your words of life into the hearts of those gathered here and those, God, watching. I pray that you would just speak through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Today we're going to get into an amazing rescue story about Peter and a jailbreak like none other that you would imagine happening. And yet, you see also the extraordinary happening and humor, but I don't want to gloss over what happens right in these very first few verses of the book of Acts in chapter 12. And the recognition that persecution happens. When we see when there's a powerful move of the gospel, when there's growth, when people are coming to faith, when there's a strong move of the Holy Spirit as there was here in the early church, and God doing the extraordinary through the ordinary, persecution happens. It just does, and there is a real enemy of our souls. And who did it please? It pleased the Jewish people. It pleased the religious people. And I found that even when we started to do church at the Manor here in Guelph, the most resistance that we faced wasn't from the unchurched. It was from the religious people. Those were the people who wanted to stop something like, how could you ever do church in a strip club? But we continue to read what happens here, and one version reads that about that time, King Herod laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, and James was put to death by the sword. Scholars would have determined at that time it would have been by beheading. It was graphic, it was cruel, it was very much a public display of his power and leadership at that time. And I'm sure it shook the early church. And I believe we've all wrestled with questions on how to deal with situations when it just seems like life isn't fair. Maybe a family member is dealing with brokenness in a relationship, a life-altering illness, abuse, or a life cut short by tragedy. And we try in some feeble way to pick up the pieces and to show and express hope. And some of our even secular songs and songs that come out try to somehow make sense. And there was one by, of course, Elton John, Candle in the Wind, which went, "And it seems to me like you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing what to cling to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to know you." And we feel somehow that maybe they had so much more to give, you know, to offer this world. And then we're presented with times when we pray and believe for the same exact answer to prayer in faith, and God does an amazing thing. There's healing. And then another place where there's no answer, no resolution, and the storm rages on. And I don't know what your experience has been. Maybe you were told that, you know, you didn't have enough faith to believe for the right result by well-meaning Christians who said, maybe you just didn't have enough faith to believe for this person or for their healing. And you've been hurt and you've been scarred. And that's been your experience. I'm here to say I'm so sorry for the way you've been treated, because that is not the Jesus way. You know, the only answer in this life is that this life that we live is not the final chapter. And we need to know that there is mystery with God and how he intervenes and when it appears that he doesn't. And we may never understand this side of eternity. So we continue to read verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. God's people pray. It's a defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ, prayer. It is our language to heaven. It's our lifeline. It's the place that we go to. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of prayer and the power that we lean into when we call upon God. Prayer is never lost. It's never wasted. And we are not beggars in prayer. And no, it's not that you didn't pray hard enough. Understand that prayer is this communication that in a way aligns our hearts with the heart of God. And it unites us together for the way that we desire and long for God to move. And we pray for heavenly outcomes. Remember the Lord's Prayer. We pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the idea of earnest prayer describes kind of like an all-out stretching for something. The verb eknos here is a medical term. It's like stretching the muscle to its limits. Earnest prayer. Some of you know I compete in triathlons, and you go through every stage, and if you survive the swim and the, you know, all that action with everybody in a wave and you're crashing and banging into each other, and if you don't hyperventilate, you get to your bike and you get on your bike and you go 30, 40, whatever kilometers, you get back and then you go on your run. And you get on your run, and that's when you feel it. Like, you feel like you've got nothing left. But as you get closer towards the end of the race, you know, you can hear people cheering in the distance. And somehow this, you know, energy, this desire in you pulls something from nowhere. It's like you empty the gas tank out. You hear the people cheering, and you're just running as hard as you can, and they call it the kick. Right at the end of the race, and you just finish, and you put in like this great time, and you just stretch your body to its very limits. And I think when I translate it to prayer, it's just praying with everything that we have to God to do in our midst. And when I pray for spiritual awakening, I ask God to reveal himself to those people I love by his Holy Spirit. I pray that their hearts would open like prison doors through whatever pain, disappointment, frustration that has blocked their path. And I believe that Holy Spirit can break through the coldness that has created a layer of ice so thick to their heart. And that He, the Holy Spirit, has like a laser with that intense heat to penetrate the very innermost being. It is not my words, but I believe the Holy Spirit that comes and moves in our midst. And we pray with bold confidence that God would do His will. And in Peter's day, there was literal chains and dark cells. And today, we are dealing with chains and dark cells, but of course, more so in the spiritual realm as we cry out for the hearts of our friends, our family. And there are times, and I want to emphasize too, when there are no answers, there's also answers. So we continue to read when God answers our prayers. Look at verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. God gives us peace. Remember now, there are 16 soldiers assigned to Peter. To be safe, Herod assigned four squads made up of four soldiers each to work probably six-hour shifts. Two of those guards were handcuffed to Peter in the jail and two outside stationed. Herod is not messing around with people of God. And yet there is this peace that transcends all understanding. How in the world is Peter sleeping in this moment? You know, Paul wrote about the very same thing when he was in prison in the book of Philippians, a verse that many of us would read and cling to. But imagine thinking it being chained. And Paul, I'm sure, was chained just like Peter when he wrote this. And may the peace of God transcend all understanding. May it guard. He was thinking of guards, I'm sure. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sleep and rest, I believe, are a gift from God. How often do we lie awake at night thinking about tomorrow's problems or a situation? And listen, I've had some bad dreams about roofs leaking. As a roofer, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, sweating. Oh yeah, it's just a dream. And thankfully, they are just dreams. But if you struggle to sleep from the storms in your life, you know, we have a prayer team of people here who would pray for you and claim the promises of God over you. And I just want to remind you, you are not meant to do life alone. You are not meant to suffer in silence. In our Alpha group that will start up in the fall again, we have a Holy Spirit Day, an opportunity to be prayed for. And I can tell you, by even the prayers of the people who are just coming to Alpha to be introduced to Christianity, when they even pray for me, man, it just fills my soul, it fills my heart, the strength that we derive from the prayers of others. Well, God displays His power and His presence. We continue reading this great story of a rescue for Peter. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes. You can't run around naked." All right, he didn't say that. "Put on your clothes and your sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you. Follow me." Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing or what was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Even Peter himself couldn't believe in this moment what was happening to him. So let's remember, this is not Tom Cruise, okay? This is not Mission Impossible moment where he's knocking down the guards, finding the keys and unlocking his wrist, kicking down the front gates. Peter is completely passive. He is completely passive in this jailbreak scene. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything," there it is, "the Jewish people would hope would happen." In 1944, a young boy growing up in the Dutch East Indies was separated from his family and thrown into a concentration camp. And there, amongst other young men, even teenagers, he would fight for a small bowl of rice and forced to do forced labor in this camp at the age of 10. He got so sick in that place and in that concentration camp that before his 11th birthday, he was sick, so sick that he was placed in a tent next to a tent where they would just put the dead bodies of the boys. He had contracted malaria. And there in the night, he would tell the story that he saw an angel, and an angel who said simply to him, "You will live and not die." That person was my dad. He survived the concentration camp, which is now, of course, the island of Indonesia and Sumatra. And again, I believe God's angels are around us and that the book of Acts is still happening today. Well, we continue to read, when this had dawned on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." They are praying fiercely for Peter, for his life. And I want to say, God uses ordinary people. I love this passage. It's honest. It's beautiful in its portrayal. It gets better. Just wait. And description of what had to have been such a surreal event. It was really such an incredible answer to prayer. And so, what was the obvious response from the people of God to this amazing answer of prayer? "You're out of your mind!" Right there in Scripture. "You're out of your mind!" They told her, Rhoda, and she kept insisting, no, really. They said, no, it must have been his angel. You know, sometimes it's honestly too good to experience such a profound answer to prayer that we have a hard time receiving it. However, let's remember that God is good and prayers do get answered every day, and so we should live and believe with great expectations. A young mother at 9 weeks during her pregnancy experienced bleeding so much that when she went to the hospital, the doctor told her, "You're going to miscarry. Better luck next time." Literally, those words. Such harsh words. And yet, she went home and asked her friends and family all across Canada just to pray. And so everybody prayed. And she went back. And the doctor was surprised after the weekend. They could still hear her heart beating. And they said, just... again, really didn't offer much hope. You know, this is just going to play itself out. Well, it did play itself out. And in fact, on the 9th day of the 9th month of the 99th year, my daughter Addison was born weighing 9 pounds, 0 ounces. God is good, and God does the incredible. Now, we knew there was something special about her, and we just said, listen, we just want to give this child over to you, Lord. And I'm proud to say that she's serving God, following God. She went to YWAM, has gone all over the world, served with YWAM, and her and her husband are in Calgary now, serving in a church there. God is good. But I know there are times when, yes, there are prayers that do feel like they hang out there, but we need to press in for more, believe for more. God is good. He's listening. He knows our needs. Okay, so one more story. This is not my family, but this is another story I love to tell. This is from a Scottish author, F.F. Bruce, and he relates the story of Sundar Singh, a Tibetan Christian who also was freed miraculously from a prison. For preaching the gospel, he was thrown into a well and a cover set over it and securely locked. He would be left unto the well until he died. And there he could see the bones and rotting corpses of those who had also perished in there. On the third day of his imprisonment, he heard someone unlocking the cover of the well and removing it. A voice told him to take the rope that was being lowered. Sundar was grateful that the rope had a loop in it and he could put his foot in it because he had injured his arm when he was thrown into the well. He was raised up, the cover was replaced and locked, and when he looked to thank his rescuer, he could find no one. When morning came, he went back to the same place he was. He continued to preach the gospel. News of the preaching came to the official who had arrested him, and Sundar again was brought before this man. When the official said, someone must have gotten the key and released him, they searched for the key, and they found it on the official's own belt. God is still writing the book of Acts. All right, we're back at the story. Peter's still outside the door. He's still knocking, you know. Hello? Anybody home? Peter keeps knocking, and when they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand, shh, let's be quiet about this, and described the very story how God had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters, and they left for another place. See, real faith is trusting, praying to God when you don't know, when it seems impossible, when it seems possible. And I want to say this, it's not about actualization, it's not about the belief that if you can see it, if you can envision it, we're not talking about that. We're talking about God and his plan in every situation. And we continue, I believe, to pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've often thought that prayer is sometimes like a treasure hunt to the heart of God. Because in the end, we want to become so aware of what God is doing in this situation. And sometimes we discover it, and sometimes we wait for it, and sometimes we don't see it. And just simply, just a fun example, yesterday I was out with my wife Ellie, and we were kind of going to some farmers markets to find sour cherries. Now, this is a very big thing with Persian people. They love sour cherry jam. It's quite a unique taste, but it's actually really good. I've got onto it. So we were checking out online, looking for places to go. We checked out way west of Waterloo. We checked out this one market, nothing. Again, another, some roadside markets, nothing. And then, of course, where do you end up? You end up in St. Jacob's, at the St. Jacob market. So we get there, and what I don't know, because I don't go there that often, is that they close at 3:30. We got there around 2:30-ish, and it was crazy. We got in there, and we're getting all kinds of deals, and so that's just a little tip for you. If you really want to get the deals, show up at the end of the day, and that's when you really get the great deals on everything fresh vegetables. So lo and behold, you know, one of the places was Niagara-on-the-Lake where we could go to get sour cherries. But wouldn't you know it, at St. Jacob's Market, there it is, this place from Niagara-on-the-Lake that has sour cherries. And not just a little bit, like 7 quarts of sour cherries. And so it was just like this gift from God. Like we were on this hunt and we were just searching, and it was sort of looking and trusting and just hoping, and there it is. And we see it. Only one place in that market. And I believe with God, sometimes there's a lot of hit and miss where we're kind of not really aligned with God, or maybe we're, you know, not sure of what's happening in this situation, but I want to trust you in the unseen. God is moving. God is working. God is shaping the plans and purposes that he has for this. And so God's purposes prevail. In the morning, verse 18, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered them to be executed. I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but Herod's life also comes to a very quick end. But verse 24 is what I want to point out, and that is, the word of God continued to spread and flourish. The stories of what God was doing, the power of the Holy Spirit moving in their midst, it spread, and the church spread, and the movement of God continued in the midst of persecution, in the midst of beautiful, amazing answers to prayer. It moved forward, the kingdom of God. And so I want to just ask Noah if he'd come up and create some space, because I want to just give you an opportunity to reflect here at the end of the service. And I want you to realize this, that God is for you. Trust the presence of God in you, even when you don't see his moving and working. In today's story about Peter, heaven was silent on Saturday and Sunday. There was no answer to prayer on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, still nothing, Friday. And then at the last minute, in the hours before Peter was slated to be executed, he was released. And you know, I can't explain why James was executed and Peter was released. There is mystery in prayer. But I do know this: commit and trust your plans and purposes for your life to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Secondly, is there a prison that you need God to set you free from? You know, whatever that prison you feel like you maybe are in right now, I just ask you to bring it before Jesus, who made it part of his mission. He said, I've come to set the captives free. He came to set you free so that you could live in his fields of grace, forgiveness, healing, and restoration. So just take a moment. We're just going to be silent. Think about these things. God, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you when we feel it. Thank you that you are there when we don't feel it. I pray that we would come more and more aware of your heart for people, your heart for others. your heart for us, that you are a God who's for us, not against us. You're a God who has loved us with an everlasting love. That you surround us. You go before us. You're behind us. You're in us. You're through us. I pray that your peace that transcends all understanding would guard hearts and minds, Jesus, here in this place. I pray for release for the captives, release from addictions, release from anything that is God's got a grip on our people. Bring your healing like a flood. In Jesus' name, amen. There are prayer people here at the crosses, and I just want to close with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with his loving kindness. The Lord lift his face upon you and give you his tranquil peace. Amen.